And we're live. How are you doing, Crystal? How's life treating you?
Doing pretty good. Summer's pretty close, so it's getting pretty hot outside. That's how. That's pretty much the only thing I'm worried about right now is the heat. Life's treating me pretty good, though.
That's a good place to start. So, who am I speaking with?
This is Crystal with Candy Wraps down in Orlando, Florida.
It gets pretty hot down there.
It does. And I just came from inside, so that's really the only thing that's on my mind. Felt really nice inside.
So are you originally from Orlando or you moved there?
Born and raised in Tampa, which is about an hour and a half west of Orlando. I've been in Orlando for about 5 years now, 6 years maybe.
Isn't Tampa hotter?
No, they're pretty level. In the state, they're both pretty centrally located, but Tampa has that breeze from the ocean. Orlando is in the middle of the state, so it can get pretty still here sometimes. So
heat is sometimes good.
Exactly. Sometimes more humid, sometimes less humid. So
thanks for being here today. So how did you get into the business?
It was about 10 years ago. Actually coming up right at my 10-year anniversary this summer. A person that I had started dating at the time was just really jumping into wraps. And when you're really young, you know, you spend all your time with other people. So that's what I did. And we grew together. We learned together. We really evolved in this whole industry together. And then we ended up working for a broker. That's how we got a lot of our customers. And that is a big reason that I am so adaptable in this industry, because I started working at numerous shops. And I'm proud to say I've worked in over 100 shops around the United States and even other countries. So, that was about 10 years ago. And then 4 years after I started, I walked away and started Candy Wraps. So 6 years going on this idea of Candy Wraps, and here we are. And since then, I've just sort of always wanted to learn and always wanted to keep progressing, never stop.
First thing that comes to mind is 100 shops. That is a lot of shops. That must mean you got to see exactly what worked and what didn't work.
Exactly. This is my biggest thing, is I learned what not to do by working in all of these shops. I even had a shop owner down in Sarasota. He was so anal about his wraps. I mean, you had a little corner messed up and he was not happy. And so anytime I was on a wrap for the first few years and I was like, man, I just don't know what to do right now, I used to say, what would Gary do? What would he do right now? So you're right. I learned what to do and definitely what not to do.
Okay. So if you have to, off the top of your head, give me the three best things you ought to do, what would they be?
Definitely your shop culture. So if you walk into a shop, and I know it might sound crazy, you walk into a shop, it's really chaotic, and there's just a lot of heat going around between everybody. You know, you're just going to have a bad rap from the start. It's definitely all about teamwork and, most importantly, communication. So that's probably the number one thing that I learned, was that no matter how your rap finishes, how it starts is even more important, from your salesperson knowing what the customer wants to your designer hearing those same things, and even the installer knowing what the customer wants at the end of the day, and everyone working together. Another thing that I really still adhere to is shop cleanliness, vehicle cleanliness, trying to set your boundaries that we work indoors if it's on a vehicle wrap for this reason, this reason, this reason. And obviously you can't always do that. I'm a mobile installer, but you know, if you do have that control and you have that option to have complete control of your wraps and all the variables, that was a big lesson learned over the years. Definitely, you know, again, just your environment of your actual wrap, where it's at, your temperatures, cleanliness of the vehicle in the shop. And then another thing, a third thing that I'd say I have to learn is, and it's a big thing, is just the knowledge from different shops. There's so many shops that just take advantage of these classes, certifications, Rap Institute, learning website, YouTube. So wanting to learn, and then you have these other shops that are like, you know, no, this is how we do it. We're not going to change it, you know, and I still run into that today. Even though my list of shops that I work for has dwindled down to almost none, because now I've brought Candy Wraps up enough to make it its own. But my last shop that I still work for, they are the term, can't teach an old dog new tricks, you know, so that really holds strong in this industry. When you've got those old techniques that aren't working, you have to find the right way. And I really thrive off those shops that are so excited to learn new and maybe even better, probably more correct techniques. So always being able to, or being willing to learn and wanting to learn.
So it sounds like a lot of it's all about setting yourself up for a successful rep, right?
Right.
Just preparing everything around you as much as possible.
Anything you can have control over, try. So
I have to ask you as well the follow-up question. What's the two things you're not supposed to do at all? Big no-nos.
Ooh, gosh, that's a really broad question.
Whatever comes to mind, really. Because there's a lot you shouldn't be doing, but people are doing.
Over-promising. That's a big one. You know, that's an industry killer. That's a business killer. I have learned my own lessons, and I still learn them every day, about over-promising. At this point in my career, I am much better at not over-promising, but, you know, we all have to make sure that we get paid on those jobs at the end of the day, and you're walking away happy. You know, there's some jobs from a couple years ago I may have over-promised, and I still lose sleep on it. So, you know, lesson learned, don't over-promise. Second lesson that I would have to say, I have learned over this very long journey. Things not to do. Let's see.
Let's take a little bit to that over-promising, right?
Okay.
Because it's easy to over-promise, to be honest with you, right? What do you think? What do you think that's the case?
From an installer's point of view, you know, we look at a wrap, and a great example, there was one posted online yesterday, you know, how many hours do you guys think it would take to do this? And it was a great question because a lot of people, do you remember the post?
I've seen those before.
Yeah, and you know, it's people just wanting to know, are they over-promising? I'm going to have this car back to you in 3 days. And that wasn't the case for this post, but it just comes to mind of people really assuming, you know, well, this car is only going to take me 6 hours, you know, 7 hours. And lo and behold, 2 days later, they're still wrapping that car and they've lost money. So I do see that often, you know, just people not knowing how long something's really going to take, whether it's the particular car, or maybe they're working with a more difficult material. And again, they just overpromised a great wrap, and they maybe have never worked with that material, or have never used knifeless or different tools that our industry provides for them. So, you know, there's learning curves with every variable of the wrap. You know, dismantling a car, sometimes that takes a whole 2 days to do. And they just, you know, people are not thinking clearly on jobs out on job sites, you know, promising your customer that it's going to get done by this day, but not giving them the heads up that weather is a huge factor. You know, if it rains, I'm sorry, I can't do it for that day or the following day while it dries out. So those are just a couple of examples. I could come up with 100 more of ways that we can overpromise, but we underdeliver.
those posts are good because there's always someone writing or claiming that they're knocked that down in 2 hours or whatever it is with their team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You start doing the math and it doesn't add up.
Right. Yes. So. I keep my mouth shut on forums. I have definitely learned my lesson over the years that sometimes you just leave things better left unsaid. But I do enjoy seeing people get on there and be a community and really either help each other, or we all stand together as a family and we kind of stick up for each other when other people are bringing us down. So
I agree. So that was number one. What was number two then? What would you say not to do?
Not to do. I still haven't come up with another thing because it's such a broad question.
You're a wrap shop owner, right?
Right.
You own your own shop. I don't know do you have any employees working with you at the moment or not?
I have an installer, yeah. But I don't have anybody production or any full-time employees, no.
So let's go this way then. You have someone working with you right now at the moment. Let's say you have a couple more. What would you not do to your team?
What would I not do to my team? Let's see. Well, again, I can definitely revert back to the setting yourself up for success. As a business, as my business owner, I'm fully involved. So I would never, I don't really know if this is a lesson as much as a, something I wouldn't do is just leave them blind. If I don't think I can do it, I'm definitely not going to send someone else. And so a lesson that I've learned is I'm on every job site. It may be a control thing, but I have my personal lesson would be I've learned not to trust other installers on their own. I don't know if that's the best thing to say, but I've had a lot of failures over the year. And so it's not to take an installer for what they say, maybe their level of experiences. So if I have, if I have four installers out on a job site, I wanted to get to know my installers' levels of experience, how good are they? What can I put this person on? So a lesson that I would say is I've learned the people, learn their skills. Sure. Don't just, again, trust somebody with, hey, I can do that van wrap solo in 8 hours. Awesome. Go for it. Here's the panels. I don't know if that's just a lesson that I've learned over the years of not to do.
It sounds like a solid way to say it. I mean, everyone is a pro until they start showing up their true colors. But yeah, I think lead by example, I guess, right?
Yes, that's a great way to say it, yeah.
Let's segue a little bit here from before. What I really wanted to know is, I know how you got into the business, but what made you stick to the business?
I fell in love with the industry. How cool is it? We get to work on some of the coolest projects that we didn't even know existed. I have wrapped NHL, NFL players, cars. I've wrapped yachts, bigger, 70-foot long yachts. So really, it's just the whole industry, from the jobs that we get to do to the wrap family. You can't forget the money that we make in this industry. I came from nothing. I came from a very poor background, and so. Finding a skill, something that I was good at and I continued to be good at, it was very self-fulfilling. So there's always that. And then, of course, being a female in the industry, that is something that I thrive on. It makes me want to be better than I ever thought I could. I'll be at an event, and let's take the Miami event.
Right.
I was working with Roni, and after the show, his wife and his daughter came up, and his daughter asked to take a picture with me. And I mean, that just fills my heart. So to be able to tell little girls, little boys, you know, hey, you guys can grow up and do this. You guys can dominate, you know, especially all you little girls, you can just be ahead of the game, you know, and it's all about your skill. What you're willing to put into it is what you get out of it in this industry. And so that kept me going. All those things together.
Would you say things are getting better for females in the industry at the moment, or what's your take on that?
I've never seen them in a bad way. I guess the biggest comment I probably get when I show up to a job, especially an on-site job, is it's just you. And you know, that's actually encouraging to me. It's actually motivation. It's like, yeah, it's just me. And you know, by the time I leave that job, I've impressed somebody, not by doing anything special, just by doing my job. You know, they come up and they're just really proud. And I don't know, I've never experienced getting harassed for being a woman in the industry, you know, or doing a man's job. But to me, I guess it is self-fulfilling that I'm a woman in this industry, knowing that it's 95% male.
There's a lot of males.
Yes. And they're all rock stars, you know, and I never have gone to a job and thought to myself, if I was a man, I could do this better. Or if I was a man, I could do this job, you know, whether it's a stadium, you know, or a speedway, which I did Daytona International Speedway a couple months back, you know, I got hired because I was a girl. I was working with other women in the industry. It excited her that there was a woman that was fully capable of handling this project, and I won the bid. So, you know, if anything, I think being a woman in this industry has helped me succeed and maybe stand out from the rest.
Congrats.
Thank you. I love it. I love our industry.
I hear.
I love what I do.
You started out, you said, working with a broker, and then you worked with a couple of shops. What made you take the leap to decide, okay, I want to do something for my own?
Well, it's always the little guy's dream to be the big guy. And I think, I know that the biggest motivation for me was being in all these wrap shops. Again, you touched it. I mean, you touched on it before I even had to say it. I learned what not to do. And to see all of these other shops, sign shops, wrap shops, doesn't matter, succeeding was just constant motivation for me to do that, you know? And one of the first things I said, one of the biggest things I've learned in this industry is the culture of your shop. And I can tell you that out of 100 shops, there's maybe 10% that I would want to work at full time because the culture is so good. And so I want to create that, but I want to create it also for my customers. Over the years, I constantly, and if you're a mobile installer, you can relate, you get a customer of a customer that comes to you and says, how do I work with you, but forego the middleman? You know, and as a loyal installer, you have to say, I'm sorry, there is nothing I can do for you except install what I'm given. And you have to unfortunately deal with the repercussions. And then I'm going to have to come back out and fix it. So over, you know, 8 years of seeing that, 9 years almost, of seeing just customers get let down and shops still open for business, it was just motivation to help me make that leap. And then I had the business. Another really smart lesson that I learned, don't buy it if you can't afford it. You know, I had already spent thousands in print outsourcing, which was great because at the time I didn't have the time to do the production. I didn't have a shop. I didn't have any experience with printing. Even though I'd worked in shops, it just, I'm an installer. And so, you know, there was a lot of reasons not to get a printer, but once I hit a certain threshold and once I had the money in the bank to do so, I did it. I made that leap. I got the printer. And for the first year of having a printer, I have not been retail. So I am strictly behind the scenes. I have customers that I print wraps for, and that's it. You know, no one's walking into my shop. So that really helped me, and is going to continue to help me keep a relationship with other shops. And when I say shops, maybe that's a bad word, because maybe broker's a good word, because I'm not offering people wraps or prints. So I can still go to a shop or go to a job, do the install with the supply graphics and leave. And that customer has no idea that I have a wrap shop or that I own a printer. And so by keeping those two separate, I'm able to keep both my customers that pay my bills, pay my overhead, keep my shop open, allow me to have a printer, completely separate from the customers that I've had for 6, 7, 8 years who hired me as a mobile installer who did not have a printer.
That's awesome. It gives you the possibility to have two different legs to stand on.
Right. And if my customers ask me, which has definitely happened, you know, do you have a printer? Up to a year ago, I said, no, absolutely not. But if you need prints, I can always get them because I have shops as customers. Well, now I'm able to say, yes, I do have a printer, but I am not open for retail. I do not sell prints to mom and pop shops or anything like that. So that's just not my niche. So I'm able to comfort them in knowing that I'm not going to go after their customers. And sometimes they've actually been like, that's awesome. I'm going to send you some work or something, you know, so it can really work both ways.
It all depends how you see it, right? The glass could be half full or half empty. That's up to you.
Exactly. Yep.
So I met you at Miami, right? At the event a couple of months back, where things were normal, you could say. I don't know. things are not that normal at the moment, at least, when we're doing this episode. How's life treating you? Are you guys in quarantine at the moment?
My county has officially gone on a stay-at-home leave, I think, today, Thursday. I think tonight at midnight or something. Our county has gone into the stay-at-home effect, but I will continue to work. I've definitely seen a decrease in business. I've lost probably this month 50 to 60% of jobs. Luckily for me, you know, I'm counting my blessings. Those customers I've had in place, you know, over the past couple years with providing prints and stuff are manufacturers. And so they have enough lined up for me to continue going over the next couple months and not rely on so many other sources like my brokers and the big companies that are selling and losing a lot of business right now as well. Events was my big hit. I live in Orlando. We have so many conventions, and I mean that right there. Like I said, I was off for a couple weeks. So, it's been tough, but I take it day by day. I've enjoyed the time off. I think we've all really prayed for that time. You know, I just want a day off. I know I've said it many times.
And I took full advantage.
Yep. But, you know, I work today. I'll be working all day tomorrow. And I've got stuff lined up for the next couple of weeks. And I'm just going to take it day by day. But you're right. This is a really strange world. And it's good to see our industry again just coming together. Our industry is the sign industry. You know, we're able to make those 3D printed masks, those surgical, you know, all these different things for people, the sneeze guards for the banks and the, you know, grocery stores, all sorts of things, and the flyers, the stickers, you know, 6 feet away. And it's just so uplifting seeing, again, our industry come together as a whole, providing these for people who, like me, I have no design experience. So to be able to download that and offer that to my customers is amazing. You know, we're really all trying to keep each other going at this time. You know, if you're feeling real down in the industry right now, I mean, reach out, because everyone's always willing to help. So it's a tough time, but it'll make us stronger, I think, when we get out of it.
Does it make you rethink this situation or new ways of thinking about stuff, all this that's happening at the moment? Or you think that, oh, just take it as it is?
Yep, I'm taking it as it is. This isn't the first time that we've seen something like this happen, and I'm not talking about the virus itself. I'm talking about an epidemic. We will definitely see an end to this. This will pass. And when that day comes, if we're not so down about what's happened, I think we'll be able to get out of it faster, mentally.
All the way. So, Crystal, I also know that you are a mom.
I am. I love my kids.
And you, how many do you have?
Two. I have two kids.
Right? And I know there's a story around you being pregnant and you competing. Could that be it?
Yeah. Yep.
So, tell me, is it true?
So, with my second pregnancy, I actually didn't announce it to anybody. I just kind of kept it as a secret, a fun little secret. And I went and competed in Germany last year. I was 4 months pregnant. And 3 months, I'm sorry. I was 3 months pregnant. I competed with Jim Miller, Kiss, Luigio, Istvan from down south in Florida. And that was it. Jim Miller, Kiss, and Istvan. And we competed as the Hungry Americans in Germany last year. And it was awesome. We had multiple rounds, multiple teams. It was a nationwide contest. And I was so elated to be there, to be asked to be a part of it. And I have to give a shout out to Dirk, who hosted it, because he made a requirement that one of your team of four be a female. So, you know, everyone is recognizing that there's females in the industry and we want to be just as much a part of things as everyone else, but we don't get asked. So, you know, it was SEMA last year. Jim asked me, I said, heck yeah, let's do this. I didn't even know I was pregnant. and we actually took second place. So that was the first time I competed pregnant.
Okay. The second one then?
The second one, I was 7 months pregnant and I flew out to Vegas. We flew out as a team. There were supposed to be several teams competing for, again, the Nation Cup. And when we got there, we got a real surprise. Our teams had actually been separated because there weren't enough teams that signed up for the competition. Mm-hmm. And when you sign up for these, you sign up as a team with purpose. These competitions aren't always rap related, or they're rap related, but they aren't always focused on raps, I should say. They include paint protection. They include tint. So there's different variables of the wrap challenge. And so, you know, you put this great team together that has a tinter, you know, paint protection installer, wrappers. And then you get to a shell and then you have to figure out how to apply paint protection film and tint. So that's what I did at 7 months pregnant. We ended up getting split up. We were all individual and we all had to compete with the wraps, the PPF and the tent. And our industry is just awesome. Our wrap family is awesome. Everyone pulled together. I learned how to tint in about 5 minutes. I learned how to do paint protection in 5 minute increments. You know, and every level got a little bit better. I'll never forget Marcel from 3M told me that I did the best handle he had ever seen without removing the handle in that competition. I'll take that with me for the rest of my life. That was pretty cool.
Did you shrink, pre-shrink it or pre-stretch it and then shrink it? Or how did you go about it?
So we had to leave the handles on. That, of course, made it more challenging, and there had to be a seam. And so what our team had come up with, because even though we got split to individuals, our team still stuck together. We're still a team while we're there. So we came up with a plan to start below the handle, work it up to the handle, trace the cup, and then give our cut below the handle, and then bring it up and drop that cup in over top. So there's just one seam along the bottom of the cup.
Right.
And work it in. There couldn't be any color showing. You're talking, you have the rubbers around the handle. You couldn't, of course, you can't cut, you get disqualified. So it was very challenging and time consuming, especially for people who have never done it. And luckily for me, I really started in the commercial industry or the commercial side. So there was a lot of handles you didn't take out years ago. They didn't make them as easy to take out as they do now.
So, oh yeah.
So I'd experienced it. But I'm pretty sure Jim was the brains behind that technique that we all agreed would be the best.
You learn from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the day you stop learning is the day you don't progress anymore.
Might as well go to bed then.
Mm-hmm.
So can I just assume that next time I see you on a competition, you might be pregnant or what?
No, no more kids here. No, literally cannot have any more kids. I am ready to keep growing my career and spending as much time as I can with my two boys. If you are a mobile installer or an installer in this industry, or business owner at all, and you have kids, you know how much time we don't get with them. So the last thing I wanted to do was continue, having kids and just having to leave them at home while I went away and travel all the time. So, I want to give my kids, my family, the best life that they can. And so I called it quits. No more pregnancies here. I'm looking forward to traveling with them in the future, teaching them how to rap, and maybe one day we can even do a competition as a family. Big dreams.
That sounds cool. What project are you most proud of? I'm not really proud of, probably in the sense that it started out crappy, but it ended up good.
A great one. And it actually just popped up in my memories the other day. And I chuckled because I thought about all the hardships that went on during this wrap. I did a radical, a race car radical a few years back. And it was designed by Scott Keppel. So, it was crazy lines, four different materials, completely knifeless. And it was definitely one of those over promising, under deliver jobs. I promised it back in a couple days, and I'm pretty sure we had that car for a week. And by the end of it, the owner was there on the last day to pick it up. He spent, I think, 5 or 6 hours that day with us at the shop, finishing up just to get it perfect. And man, that job just made me so proud to be done with it. It looked awesome. And I'm still friends with the owner on Facebook. So it's great, that one I'm definitely proud of. It got done right. It looked so good, but it was a lesson learned.
What was that then?
Look, make sure that you know what you're getting into.
But how can you do that?
I didn't.
Yeah, I get that, but you seem to me like someone that's always trying boundaries, right? So,
yep.
How could you know what you're getting into when you really don't know?
Tell your customer. Be honest with them.
Got it. Right.
Hey, I've never done one of these before. And from my experience, the experience I have with the current project, if I'm having Skeffel design it, I know it's going to be an intricate design. I've never worked on a car like this before. I know it's going to take a lot of knife lifts, you know, a lot of laying things out, making things perfect. So I don't know how long I'm going to have your car for. I need you to be okay with that. You know, I need you to be okay with understanding that this picture is a 2D example of what your wrap's going to look like. It's not a paint job, you know? So setting your customers' expectations was my lesson there, you know? And luckily for me, that customer wasn't on my tail about getting it done. You know, he was okay with us taking extra time. He wanted it to be done right. And he appreciated the fact that we were honest with him and that we told him, hey, you know, we do need extra time. We weren't prepared for this hard of a job. So sometimes you don't get that lucky. Sometimes you have a customer that wants it right now.
I'm just enjoying what you're saying. When expectations meet reality, that's when things get done. What is your favorite wrap? What is your favorite vehicle to wrap? That's the question, actually.
Commercial. You give me all a box truck. Give me box trucks, trailers. Give me anything flat all day, every day. Favorite thing to all wrap? Definitely. I mean, if I'm being honest, wall graphics for sure. You know, wall wraps, flat things, barricades.
Good money.
Yep. Easy, flat money, fast. You know, I don't, as much as I love to push boundaries, Simon, I'm not looking for challenges. I don't want to see if this vinyl will hold up. Does that make sense? I don't want to push the boundaries of that vinyl and see if it's going to hold up. I know what will work. It's not the only way that it'll work, but inlays, you know, inlays are your best friend. Do them right. Set your customers' expectations and do them. And you'll never see that wrap again until you're ready to take off and you have a repeat customer who's ready to do it again. So when it comes to those challenging cars and helmets and bowling balls, you know, seams, all that stuff, just set your customers' expectations on those. So I can't say that I love doing car wraps, especially since I've been doing it for so long. You know, that's what I started on, was just cars every day. Now as a business owner and still fully installing 90% of my wraps, 95% of my wraps, I'd rather see fleet all day.
Get that. Is there anything you would like to get your hands on, but you haven't yet at the moment?
Gosh, I've done it all. I've done helicopters. I've done airplanes. I've wrapped a yacht while it was in the water. two yachts. You know, I've done really fun projects. I've worked with some of the most humble and awe-inspiring mentors in the industry. I think I've really been blessed with getting, you know, some really cool opportunities. I don't think there's anything that I could go to sleep tonight and think, man, I really wish I could wrap that. I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that.
That's a good answer anyways. I also happen to know you are... we know that you competed. We know that you compete. We know that you love learning. And I also know that you love teaching. And I know that you are a trainer, right?
I am. Training is my passion, and it has been my career goal for at least 5 or 6 years. So, yes, I love it. It's my passion.
Why?
So I'm a trainer for Orifel. Orifel brought me on last year as one of their 3 new installers. I teach alongside Dan Bula and Marcos. I couldn't even say his last name if I tried. The Rap Boys, Rap Specialties up there, and then Dan's with Rap Element and Mag Straps. And collectively, I couldn't ask for a better group to teach with. So there's starting that. But when Oracle took me under their wing and I got to experience teaching, it was everything I had dreamed it would be. We get there, you know, the first thing, one of the first things I ask people, you know, who here has wrapped a car? Who here has touched vinyl? And I mean, you might see two hands go up, three hands out of a class of 15. You know, so let's say that's a full wrap, you know, let's say they've done one, so they'll raise their hand. And then there's some people that have never touched vinyl, or maybe they've applied a sticker here or there, or a partial wrap, maybe stripes. And so by the end of that 2-day class, the excitement, the wanting to learn more and take in everything, by the end of those 2 days, I mean, they are just over the moon about having put vinyl on a car and learning, I'm going to say the right way, they've learned good ways, good techniques to install vinyl. They're not just starting out on their own and kind of, you know, figuring it out. So they
YouTubing
really
think they're just,
exactly. YouTube certified.
We're all YouTube certified.
Well, hey, that's how I started. That's how I learned how to wrap a bumper.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that video. So it's just being able to take these people and mold them into somebody who is excited to learn more, and excited to take what they've learned and go home. I still get emails from past students. I oftentimes become friends with them online, you know, Instagram or Facebook, so I can see how they've progressed. And anyone in our industry, I think, that has excelled, that has succeeded, can agree that we're all hungry to keep learning. We're all hungry for that next project. You know, whether it's a challenging one or an unknown one, you know, we're all hungry for that next thing to learn. And so that's what these students really come in. They know they've paid money. They know that they're there to learn for 2 days. And they know that by the end of it, they're going to have experience under their belt. And so it's just rewarding. It's so rewarding seeing them at the end of the class, knowing, giving them that confidence that they can do it. And it's just vinyl. It's just a sticker.
My follow-up question was there, maybe you answered it right just a couple of seconds ago, but what's the most important thing for you to teach them?
That right there. Just a sticker. You know, I tell that to my own installers, you know, it's okay. It's just a sticker. You don't want to mess it up. It's money. At the end of the day, it is money, but you know, it's just a sticker. And if you're not happy with it, do it again. Don't be afraid. That's the number one thing I say at the beginning of the class. And it's something that if you come to a class with me, you will hear me say, don't be afraid. Pick it back up. Just don't cut it. You know, just don't cut it. You can pick it back up. It's just a sticker. So being able to tell them, you know, you're not working on a $500,000 car right now. You're working on a rental car. It's okay. You know, if you screw up, it's okay. It's just a sticker. You can replace it. Wrap your own car. You know, if you're not okay with wrapping your own car, putting a knife on your own car, things like that, then figure out a different way to do it, whether it be knifeless or learning a better cutting technique. You know, take that sticker off, do it again, and learn a new technique. Learn the right way, learn the wrong way.
Touché. So some quick questions here for you to answer. What is your number one go-to tool? What's the tool you use most, besides the squeegee, maybe?
All right. It's funny you asked this, because I actually have been making a little video about my favorite technique. And it includes the VCAT roller, the 3M channel roller.
Yeah.
I think it's a VCAT 3 blue handle, black rubber. I mean, that is my go-to tool. There is not a body... Excuse me, there's not a body line on a car that I will cut without rolling it first. And any time that I have shown someone this technique, whether they're experienced or not, they're blown away at how much quicker and how much prettier your wrap is at the end.
Well, I want to see that one.
Well, I'm going to post it. It'll just be a little video. But, I mean, I just showed, you know, a simple fender. I've seen so many times where, you know, people cut it without rolling it, and then it's all wrinkled in there. And you take 5 seconds, heat it up, roll it. You can also use your squeegee. You don't have to spend the $160 on a roller. But, you know, just seeing the roller in action, man, that thing is, it's a monster. I love it. It makes every edge perfectly rolled. So that's my go-to tool.
Good answer. What is your favorite color at the moment?
Ooh, okay. So I think you said earlier, and you retracted it. You said, what's your favorite wrap? And I was ready to answer. I was going to say my own car right now. It is wrapped in the KPMF, who was newly acquired by Orifol, the Momentum Pink. And I mean, that color is killer. It's just awesome. It turns every head. And before I even had graphics on it that said candy wraps, I mean, when it was just a pink car, I would see little girls just light up, you know, their whole face and people. I mean, it turns every head. So that's definitely my number one color in the game right now. But, you know, all these manufacturers, they keep releasing new ones, so it'll change.
I know that color. A photo doesn't do it justice. You need to see it live. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you see it, it actually took me a couple days after I wrapped my car to see the sparkle in it. I thought it was a flat pink because it was wrapped in the shop. You know, it was just a solid pink. But man, when you take it outside, I mean, it's stunning. Mm.
You have years and years of knowledge. For everyone out there that maybe works with brokers or it's a self-employed installer, works with other shops, what tips or ideas can you give those people out there?
That's a broad question. So people that work with people, mobile installers, what advice can I give to them?
Right.
Okay. And this is something I also provide in my class. It's a big topic is, you know, pricing and what to do, what not to do, things like that. Again, over promising, under deliver. And so mobile installers, you know, probably something that took me many years to really understand is your time. Your time is worth money. And you know what? Those businesses have the money. When they say they don't, you got to put your foot down and say, this is why I have to charge this. It's just like a wrap shop offering free designs before they get any sort of money for a wrap. So, you know, again, if you're a mobile installer, respect yourself and your time. That's my number one rule when it comes to like mobile installers. That I have learned and other people should learn when they get to a level where they're able to be fully self-sufficient as an installer, not a helper, not someone who can just wrap a basic car. I'm talking a full on mobile installer who brings every tool that they have with them and can wrap anything from boats to box trucks to Ferraris. That's the first thing, your time. Another thing as a mobile installer, I think one of the biggest reasons I am successful is communication. I always have my phone on me. I always respond to emails within an hour, if not immediately. Even if it's, I don't have the time right now, I'm out on a job site, let me get back to you. Because you know what? There's someone sitting at their desk or has their phone in their hand who got that same email to do that same job, and they're going to have it before you get back to them. So that was a big thing that I've already always done, that I get constant feedback that it's keeping customers happy happy to pay, you know, whatever my rate is. They don't really care because they know that I'm going to show up. They know that I'm going to do the job right, and I'm going to leave, and that customer is going to be happy. So, communication, definitely. Don't half-ass things. If you're going to do it right. That's a big thing. And you know what? I think one a big learning curve for me with every job is you fake it till you make it. In this industry, that might sound really cliche, but you know what? If you don't know how to do something, hire someone that does. You know, I worked on that Speedway, Daytona International Speedway, a couple months ago, I'm sorry. And I knew that I could not operate a boom lift efficiently and in a timely manner. And so I hired Jeremy Connor. I brought him down for a pretty penny from another state to come down for a week and help me on that job because I knew that he could do it. So, you know, I got the job and yeah, a woman's running it. I told you I won that job because I was a woman, but I still had to bring in someone with the experience. So definitely never be afraid to ask for help or be honest with your customer. You know, I need more time on this job because I've never done this before. This is a difficult material. And that being said, there's a lot of times that I would go onto a job site, and they've given me a material that I'm not familiar with. It's a very cheap material, you know, in comparison to what I'm used to. And so it's a big learning curve and it's added hours to the install and they're saving money because they're using a cheaper material, but it's costing you how much time because of the install.
Right.
So that right there was another lesson, you know. If you only use this certain type of material, the super cheap material, that's fine. But my price doubles because my time doubles, you know? So being able to adapt to the situation and then setting your customer's expectations. Hey, spend an extra $200, you know, on an Orifol kit, Avery kit, you know, whatever it is, you need to spend the extra money on a kit for a reputable brand. And then we can bring my price back down to my regular pricing. So that was a big lesson for me as well. You know, ask all the questions. Is there a removal? Is the car clean? If not, I gotta charge you and I gotta delay it because I gotta let it dry. You know, is everything ready? There's so many times as a mobile installer you get somewhere and the vehicle's not there or the graphics aren't ready. We still have to laminate and trim them. Don't you have to get the car ready? No, the car should be washed. I've got to wipe it down and I get started, you know? So definitely asking the questions and setting yourself up for success, especially as a mobile installer when you're driving somewhere.
That's a lot of info. That's some good points.
I've been doing it a long time.
I hear that. So Crystal, listen, I'm about done here. It's been a blast talking to you. I always have an open mic for people to say whatever they want to the people listening to this episode. So go for it. Tell the rapping world whatever you think or want them to know.
You know, I think the biggest thing that I can say to our industry, as a whole, is take the opportunity. Take every opportunity. Go to that show. Go to that event. Do that job. Do that job and don't make any money. Drive to a different state to go work with that person, that mentor, that person you look up to for free so you can learn from them. And I'm not all about free. I love money. I love working, you know, but I'm just saying if you have downtime, take that chance to go off and do something. You know, learn from the people, connect to them online. You know, if you really want someone else's help or someone else's mentorship, you know, reach out to them and let them know that you want that opportunity. So that's definitely my lesson is take the chances and the opportunities will come in.
Cool. That's about it, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for taking your time. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for being so cool.
Oh, Simon, thank you so much for having me. This was such a blast. I can't wait to hang out with you again. I hope that it'll be at one of the events, I'm sure. I mean, that's how I got this opportunity to meet you, to be on here on the Rap Pod. I'm super excited to see what our industry continues to do over the next year. So, especially after all this madness.
I'm on that one as well. As soon as I let us fly, I guess we'll meet once again.
Awesome, Simon. Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.